Okay, so thank you all for braving the elements to come. This week, we're moving on from Shiurim for Tzedakah, meaning last few weeks we've been talking about spending a fifth on Tzedakah, and now we're going to be moving on to other mitzvos. So this week we'll talk about other mitzvos in general, and then next week will be the last one on this topic about Pikuach Nefesh cases, because that is a whole sugya unto itself. That's a different set of sources. So this week we're going to be talking about the basic, minimum that you have to spend to fulfill a mitzvah. So generally, when we talk about how far a person has to go to fulfill a mitzvah, we kind of give three categories. We have the mitzvos chamuros, the big three, where you have to do anything, even giving up your life. And then the next sort of stage down is a mitzvos losase, which is how much? How much do you have to give up or to not do a mitzvah losase? 10%.
Well, depends.
Okay. So the standard answer is that you have to give up all your money. You have to give up all your money rather than do a mitzvah losase. We'll talk about where that comes. We'll talk about kind of where we get that from. And then we have mitzvah sase, which seems to be a step lower, which we classically associate with what we said in the past few weeks, meaning a fifth. As we'll see, that's not so simple. As we'll see, that is really a matter of debate. And we just say it because it's easier. Just because it's like an easier way to remember it. But the answer is it's not that simple.
I can give you a story.
Yeah?
It's a rude story.
A rude story?
A real story.
Oh, a real
not
story.
A story.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
All these guys understand Yiddish. Do you?
I understand a little bit.
Okay. Day is Rosh. He's the rabbi in whatever that big hall is, YU 186.
Lamport?
Huh?
Lamport,
right. And it's now Rosh Hashanah, and he is the Rav.
Okay.
The Baal Tokeya goes out during the Haftorah around the corner to the mikveh.
Okay.
There was at that time.
I didn't know there was a mikveh around the corner. Really? Okay.
It was around the corner. Comes back and is all wet. And he stands there preparing for the tekiyos and starts crying and in typical literary stuff, he looks at him and he says, Weidman, wenn man ist Matze,
wasn't clear.
Do you cry when you eat matzah? Is that what
it is?
Meaning, there's no difference between shofar and shaking a lulav. So if you don't cry when you shake a lulav or eat matzah, you shouldn't cry when you blow shofar. Okay, so that story illustrates basically that mitzvah saseh are all equal. As we'll see, that's one prevalent opinion. There are, though, other opinions that say no. We typically break it down ase versus los ase, positive versus negative. As we'll see, there are other ways to break down mitzvos and averos, and we'll talk about that.
Great.
So, if you look in source number one, this is a Gemara in Bava Kamma. Amar Reb Zeira, Amar Reb Huna, b'mitzvah ad shlish. So, Reb Zeira said in the name of Reb Huna, an enigmatic statement. He said, when it comes to mitzvos, you have to give up a third. So, my shlish, what does that mean? What are we referring to? Ilema shlish beso, if you're talking about a third of your estate, so elameata yisrami le tlasa mitzvah leisiv lekule beso. So if you have three mitzvahs, you'll give away, you'll be broke. So ela amar Reb Zeira, so Reb Zeira said behidur mitzvah. We're not talking about a regular mitzvah. We're talking about a hidur mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah, up to a third of the mitzvah.
That's the same answer. Three times you're out of the game.
So he adds Achlish bi mitzvah with the mitzvah itself, meaning not that you have to give a third of all of your money, it's up to a third of what this mitzvah costs specifically. So there's different interpretations of it. So let's say the minimum esrog, the most basic esrog, costs $75. And then there's a nicer esrog that costs $100. So The one opinion says, so you take the minimum cost and then you add a third. That's how much you're obligated to spend to do the mitzvah in a nicer way. So a third of 75 is 25. So up to, you are obligated, if you see a nicer esrog, you're obligated to spend up to $100. Another opinion says that, no, it's not about the basic, like the bare minimum cost, but rather, if you have two esrogim in front of you, one's nicer than the other, so if it costs up to a third more, if it's only a third more, so then you should...
Of what?
Of the other esrog. Meaning, if esrog A costs 75 and esrog B costs 100, even though theoretically I could go to another store and find an even cheaper one that's still kosher, I'm still obligated to buy the more expensive one. However, both of those opinions, both of those interpretations are only talking about comparing two different esrogim. But what happens if I don't have, you know, if it's just my total bank account? We're not talking about how much you have to spend to do a mitzvah. We're talking about how much you have to spend if you want to do a nicer mitzvah. So this Gemara doesn't talk about it. And this is the only Gemara that speaks about this. This is the only Gemara that talks about the minimum shear that you have to spend. And it's not talking about a mitzvah. It's talking about hider mitzvah. So if
is that a should or a could?
I'm sorry?
Is that a should or a could?
What do you mean by that? I'm sorry.
Is it an obligation or
Oh, should or could. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying some Hebrew Aramaic word. I didn't understand what it was. Yeah, so that is a question. If you, well, I guess we could go down now. If you look in source number 7, so this kind of paraphrases it. It's in Hilchos Lulav. Imkana esrog, she'ro'oi lotzeis bo b'tzimtzum. If you bought an esrog that you're able to be yotze with, even if it's just a very basic quality, kigon shehu kibetza mitzumtemes, it's like a really small, teeny esrog the size of an egg. The achar kach matzah gadol mimen, you found a bigger, nicer one. Mitzvah lahosif ad shlish miligav bidmei harishon kidei lahachlifa biyoser na'ad. So the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch says that it's a mitzvah. Does that mean like you need to, or is it a good thing? It seems to say that it's a very good thing to do. Are you obligated? Maybe not. You could read it as should. You could also read it as you don't have to, but it's more than a could. I would say it's somewhere in between.
Now, if a guy goes out and buys an esrog and then finds one that's prettier.
Yeah.
What does he do with the second esrog?
So you could sell it. You could exchange. I mean, it says kidei lahachlifo. So it sounds like that you're able to recoup your investment. So again, if there's no returns, so then you may not be obligated to do that, because then you're spending even more.
Yeah.
Meaning then you're spending even more money. So it sounds like that you have to be able to recoup your initial expenditure. Okay, so now going back, look at source number 2. So this is Rashi. So Rashi says, Shlish Beso, so this is in the Havamina, that in general, to fulfill a mitzvah, I thought that you would need to spend a third of your estate, and the Gemara rejects this. Shechayiv Adam Levazves B'mitzvahs Lulav O Tzitzis O Sefer Torah Shlish Mashigetzla. So Rashi says, in the Havamina, we thought that for any mitzvah, whether it be lulav, tzitzis, or sefer Torah, any positive mitzvah, you would have to spend a third of your money. Now, the Gemara rejects this. So what does that mean that we reject it? So if you look in source number 3, so Tosfos says, Mashma, de'ein tzarech levazveis kol mimono liknos esrog, afilu lo yimatzei bepachos. So it sounds like that since the Gemara is only talking about when you have two options, is a mitzvah to go with the bigger one, but we reject the idea when you have to get one entirely, it sounds like that you do not need to waste all your money to buy an esrog, even if you can't find an alternative. V'havya mitzvah overis, and you're going to miss the boat, meaning once Sukkos is over, you can't do the mitzvah anymore. Nevertheless, I don't have to spend my money. Va'afilu shlish beso mashma delo mechayiv. You don't even have to spend a third. Va'amrinan nami, and we also say, Hamivazves al yivazves yoser mechomesh. So then they quote our Gemara that we've been learning about in Ksubas. Now, from the fact that Tosfos says v'amrina nami, and we also say this, it sounds like that Tosfos is saying this Gemara is not really talking about our case. It's similar enough that I can say, hey, this sort of follows in that spirit. So Tosfos believes that the Gemara in Ksubas is not talking about spending money on either all mitzvos, or meaning maybe it's specifically talking about sukkah, or maybe it's talking about like a general mitzvah fund, or maybe hiddur mitzvah. We don't know. We don't know from this Tosfos. But what is clear is that Tosfos believes the Gemara in Ksubas, all it's talking about is that Chazal were allowed and did put limitations on spending for money, for mitzvos. And so the same thing is true over here too, that you don't need to spend all your money. Now, Tosfos doesn't say how much you do. Tosfos just finishes up, Uvisukah chashiv le rabusa de Rabbi Gamliel shekana esrog be'elev zuz. The Gemara in Sukkah says, wow, Rabbi Gamliel was so great, he spent a bajillion dollars on an esrog. So a lot of Mefarshim ask, well, how could he do that? Hamevazvez al yevazvez yoser mechomesh. So either...
he was very rich.
So right, so one answer is, he was really, really, really rich. And nevertheless, he still didn't have to do that. Even though, meaning if you say that answer, even though it was less than a fifth of his assets, he still wasn't obligated to go that far. Meaning if you're a billionaire and there's an esrog that costs $1,000, you could spend that much money. It's much less than a fifth of your worth. It's much less than a third of your worth. But it sounds like from Tosfos that you don't necessarily need to spend that. And if you look in the Rashba in source number 4, he says this even more explicitly. Let's go down to 5 first. See the Rush first. So the Rush in source number 5, he says, Shamina umida amar ilu misrami le tlasa mitzvasa yav la kula bese. So from that Gemara, Shamina, and we learn, she'ein adam mechuyev levazves hon rav bishvil mitzvah achas vafilu hi mitzvah overes. So the Rush says, you don't need to spend a ton of money even for a mitzvah that's going to go away, like esrog. So how much does the Rashba say? What's the shear that the Rashba gives? Hon rav, a lot. See, he doesn't say, and the reason why Tosfos and the Rush don't give an answer is an amount, because the Gemara doesn't give an amount. They don't believe the Gemara in Ksubas is talking about spending on mitzvos in general.
That you have to spend
that much money.
Maximum.
That may be the maximum, but that's not the minimum. It just sounds like if it's a lot of money, and that could be relative to you, meaning if you're not super wealthy, X amount might be a lot. Or even if you are wealthy, like Rabbi Gamliel, maybe even then, if esrogim are at a super expensive, you're not obligated to. Just, you know, that's your own personal cheshbon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now go back to source number 4. The Rashba says this idea as well, but he actually gives a little bit of a reason. Mehadam rinon ilu misrami le tlas mitzvah yav le kule besa mashma. So again, from our Gemara, it sounds like da'afilu mitzvah veres ke esrog v'sukkah. He also adds sukkah. Einu mechuyev lasei safilu shlish mamona. You don't even need to give a third. V'zeh teima. And now he asks a question. He says, I don't understand. Heich nosnu domim le mitzvah overes. How could you attach a value to a mitzvah that's going away? Meaning, if you could do the mitzvah in 2 days from now and you'll have more cash, okay, so I can understand, you know, wait till you get more money. But if you're going to miss a mitzvah, how could you attach a price tag to a mitzvah? Now, again, we're all coming with this idea. I was taught in elementary school, for a mitzvah lo sase, you got to give up all your money. For a positive mitzvah, you got to give up a fifth. The Rashba says, no, you should have to give up all your money. How could, again, it's very clear that the Gemara says not, but how could that be? Because of HaRaivid Zal, and the Raivid gives an answer. The Raivid asks this question. He says, how could you put a price tag on a mitzvah? Kidei shelil yavo lidei oni v'yapil atzmo al hatzibur. So he gives his suggestion is bad policy. you're basically going to be, rely on the tzibur. Ukimosha amra, we say in the Gemara in Shabbos, asei shabbos chachol vatistarech lebrios. If you have two options, you're not very wealthy, you could either just have like a weekday meal on Shabbos, or you could collect money from the communal fund to have a nice Shabbos. And the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says you are obligated to have a regular weekday meal on Shabbos rather than use communal funds. V'chein amru, and similarly we said, al yivaz ve'ez yosar mechomish, once again. So he's saying this is a similar idea, but we don't have to. And then he gives, then he says, sheha oni kimisa. So the Ravid says, because in ani is chashiv kimes. In ani is like a dead person, and that is terrible. And what do we know? We know that you don't have to give up your life for most mitzvos. So the Ravid says, so just like you're not obligated to give up your life for any mitzvah, you're not obligated to become an ani for mitzvos. And he seems to be saying that this is not even a derabbanan. This is a d'oraisa. He doesn't say that the sages said, you know, you don't have to spend a ton of money. This seems like he's talking on a biblical level. The Torah does not require you to become a poor person to do mitzvos. Why? Because it's like you're dying. And then the Rashba editorializes, meaning that's what the Ravid says. The Rashba adds, umi kol makom lo kemisa mamish. Doesn't really mean like you're a dead guy if you're poor. Shelo amru ela b'mitzvas asei b'shev ve'al taisa. The Ravid was only talking about a scenario where it's a positive mitzvah, where you're not actually doing anything physically wrong. Aval b'mitzvas lo saseh, but when it comes to a mitzvah lo saseh, the implication being where you're physically doing something bad, where you're actively doing something wrong, afilu kol mamono, you have to give up all your money.
Now describe to me what a mitzvah saseh is.
A mitzvah saseh that's not shev al tasa?
Shev al tasa.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Maybe sukkah. We'll get to that. But maybe sukkah. There's a discussion. Is sukkah an active mitzvah or a passive? Is not being in the sukkah an active or passive aveira?
Right. If you go back to the person, it's an obvious.
Well, no, it's telling you you should sit in the sukkah. But let's say I don't sit in the sukkah. Am I actively doing something bad or I'm passively doing something bad? That's the question. It's a machlokas.
Okay.
But yeah, so we'll get to that soon. But anyway, so from here, what is the Rashba saying? The Rashba saying, obviously, what the Ravid means is that you don't have to give up your money for a mitzvah asay because you're not really doing anything bad. You're just not doing something good. And the Torah said, and the Torah basically believes that you don't have to ke'ilu kill yourself to do a mitzvah. But when it comes to doing something bad, when it comes to an aveira, then you literally have to go up to the point of physical death. You don't have to give up your physical life, but you have to give up financial life rather than do something physically bad. And the question is, where does that come from then? What's the source for that? So if you go down to source number 7, so this is the Shulchan Aruch, we read the first half of it already. If you go down to the bolded part, so this is the Haggah of the Ramah adds, Umisha ein lo esrog, oshar mitzvah overes. So let's say you have no esrog, or some other mitzvah that's passing, levazvez alea hon rav, and you have to basically spend a ton of money on it. You don't have to do that, though. Ukemosha amru hamivazvez al yivazvez yoser mechomish afilu mitzvah overa. So even a mitzvah that you're going to potentially lose out on, it doesn't matter because again we have this idea that the Torah and Chazal don't want you to spend so much money. V'dafka mitzvah saseh avalosa seyitem kol mimono kodem sheyavar. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this Rashba. Question is, where does he come from? If you turn the page, the Gra gives a suggestion. The Gra in the Shulchan Aruch talks about where things come from, and so he says, "De'afilu shvus de'shvus lo hitiru b'makom hefse." So he says there's no actual explicit source in the Gemara that says you have to give up all your money. Rather, it's something that we can derive from another phenomenon, which is a shvus de shvus, even a rabbinic gzeira and a rabbinic gzeira, they were not matir, they didn't permit, but Malcolm Hef said, if you would lose money, it's only when there's a danger to life. So what is that? What is the Gra talking about? He gives a number of sources. One of them, though, is in source number 9. The Gemara says, well, the Mishnah says, Nachri sheba lichbos. Let's say there's a fire that breaks out. There's no danger to life, but your property is being destroyed. Ein omrim lo kaveh. You can't tell him to put out the fire unless you're concerned that someone's going to die. But also, what you're not, what you don't need to say is ve'al tachbeh. You also don't say, don't put it out. Mipnei she'ein shvisaso alehen, because you're not responsible for his resting on Shabbos. So Rashi explains in source number 10, ein omrim lo kaveh, you can't tell him to put out the fire. Rabbanan gazar ala mira l'nachri misham shvus, there's an isser to tell a guy to do work for you on Shabbos. V'lo tichbeh, ein sarich limchos biyado, you don't need to protest that he shouldn't put out the fire. Ella yanicha v'yichbe, let him be and let him put it out. Exactly. She'ein shvisasel shel nachri alehen. You're not responsible for this guy resting on Shabbos. Di Yisrael eino muzhar al shvisasel. Jews are not obligated to make sure that goyim rest on their behalf. She'eino avdo, as long as you're not basically his employer. So the Vilna Gaon says, so the fact that Chazal didn't waive one of their own gzeiros derabbanan when it comes to just destruction of property. So kal v'chomer for a doraisa. So kal v'chomer for a doraisa, nothing gets waived. Just like you have to give up all your money for a mitzvah derabbanan, ostensibly, so too, I have to give up all my money, even for a negative mitzvah. Now, a positive mitzvah seems to be different. Why? Because maybe why? We sort of gave an answer, but the Ravid gave his answer because it's like you're killing yourself. Well, okay, but the Rashba says, well, that's still different than a mitzvah losase. So what's the difference? And if we have no Gemaras here, meaning the Vilna Gaon is basically saying there are no Gemaras that distinguish between an ase and a losase, and yet everybody seems to take for granted that we do. So the question is, what's the difference between an ase and a los ase, where a los ase is more chamor? We spoke about this at the very beginning of the series, where we said that a mitzvah ase trumps a mitzvah los ase, and the Ramban says the reason why is because loving Hashem is greater than fearing Hashem, or doing something good is better than doing something bad. Different explanations, but regardless, despite the fact that a positive mitzvah trumps a negative mitzvah, the bar of what you have to give up, or the minimum threshold that you have to expend, seems to be much greater for a mitzvah lo sase than a mitzvah sase. So why should that be?
Well, first of all, you're touching on the concept of Rabbanan Yeshkech or Lakar Dovner Torah B'Shev Altase. So the Al Yavan's base is a Rabbanan is saying don't spend money on an ase, because they have the ability to be oiker the mitzvah.
Right. So what you're bringing up is that under normal circumstances, a mitzvah sase requires you to do something, and you can just say just remain passive, and you didn't do anything wrong. By a mitzvah slosase, the normal way that you go about transgressing is by actively doing something. Maybe an exception would be chametz on Pesach, having chametz around, because there you have this negative mitzvah by the fact that you didn't destroy the chametz. That may be an exception. But generally, a negative mitzvah is when you do something bad. So the distinction that we've mentioned of sheva al taaseh seems to be that when you're actively doing something, the bar is when you don't do something, the bar is much lower. I don't have to give up as much. For a mitzvah sase, I have to opt into the mitzvah sase. I have to do something. So the Torah and Chazal can say, we don't need you to stretch so much. Just remain who you are, remain a pashut a yid, just keep on going about your day. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't break anything, so you're good. As opposed to by a negative mitzvah, where generally what happens is that you're doing something bad. You're actively doing something bad. So this becomes the a chakira, meaning as a way to look at a question that you could explain, in a phenomenon that you could explain in one of two ways. Is the difference between an asay and a los asay the chomer, the, I guess, severity of the consequences of your action or inaction? Is it the consequence of what you do? Or is the difference how you do it, the modality? Meaning, is the difference between an asay and a los asay because, you know, one, I'm doing something good and the other, I'm doing something bad? And so by a los asay, I'm messing up the world. And so, you know, it's worse to mess something up than just to not do something good. So maybe the bar is higher. Or it's not the consequences of what you do. It's not the result of the damage that you do. But it's the fact that you're being active. It's your action. And that's the difference. By a mitzvah saseh, if I don't do it, I'm not really doing anything. As opposed to by a mitzvah lo saseh, my action is a rebellion against God. So that is a machlokas that has gone on for centuries. And there's no resolution. We don't really have a clear resolution about it. It's a machlokas rishonim, it's a machlokas achronim. We don't really have a clear answer about it.
But you see, on a lo saseh, you get malchus. So evidently, you know, it has more weight.
Right. No. So maybe I wasn't clear. Everybody agrees that the chomer ha'iser, that the chomer of the bad thing that you did is worse by a lo saseh, because you're breaking stuff. You're breaking God's world. You're damaging God's world. Nobody's denying that. The question is that the threshold that you have to go physically and financially to not do that, is it because it's more chomer, it's worse, the consequences of what you did, you broke God's world? Or, no, that's a separate thing. That's a separate thing about punishments. In terms of how much you have to forego, maybe that's simply because whether I'm an active participant or I'm just remaining passive. Maybe that's the distinction. And so if you look in source number 11, they talk about this. And here we come to Sukkah. So the Prima Gadim, he says, Vida, de'onein pater mi Sukkah umikol mitzvahs hamuras batorah, b'chol hamoed, umisasek b'kvura al yedei akum b'yom rishon, u'b'yom tevsheni al yedei Yisrael. So for those that are in the Smichas Chavir Shir, this is exactly what we talked about last week. In onein is somebody who has lost a relative, and they have not been buried yet. So the halacha is that you are not obligated in mitzvos. And in fact, according to many Rishonim, it's usher for you to do mitzvos. You're not allowed to do mitzvos. That doesn't mean you can walk around killing people. It doesn't mean you can walk around serving Avodah Zarah. Rather, what it means is that I don't have to do positive mitzvos, but I can't do negative mitzvos. So the Prima Gadim says, an onein does not have to sit in the sukkah. Ostensibly, he shouldn't have to eat matzah either.
On the first night.
Ah, okay. That's a separate thing. The answer is probably no, but the answer is probably no also. But if you see the next sentence, he actually equivocates. He's not sure. He says, "V'yesh lomar d'dafka mitzvah asay sheva al tasen." Maybe when we said that an onein is pater from mitzvah saseh, it only means active mitzvah saseh. Meaning, it's not a distinction between good versus bad, it's a distinction between active versus passive. So, sukkah, is sukkah an active, meaning if you eat outside the sukkah, are you actively doing something wrong, or are you passively doing something wrong? And he believes that by sukkah, you're actively doing something wrong if you eat out of the sukkah. And he brings a proof to this. V'sukkah over bekum va'aseh. You are actively violating a mitzvah. She'ocha chutz l'sukkah. How does he know this? He proves it from a Pnei Yoshua, who quotes a Gemara in sukkah. Ha'ezrach lehotzi nashim. So there's a special pasuk that says that women don't have to eat in the sukkah. Mm-hmm. To which the Gemara says, but mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Yesh lomar mitfilin. So maybe it should be tfilin. And then the Gemara finally answers, Shev al tase, that's passive. Shmamina afkum va'ase nashim peturos. You want to know why we need a special pasuk? Because this is by eating outside the sukkah, they are actively violating a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah. And I might have thought that they're not allowed to do that. And I need a special pasuk to tell me that they don't have to eat in the sukkah. So the Prima Gadim says it must be from the fact that women eat a special pasuk to get them out of eating inside the sukkah. It must be that there's a difference between active and passive, and not just positive and negative. So that is the opinion of the Prima Gadim and the Pnei Yehoshua. However, if you look in source number 12, Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, it says, "Im yuchal lahatzil atzma b'chol asher lo." If you're able to save yourself from doing a negative mitzvah, tzarech litein lo hakol. You have to give up everything. And Rabbi Akiva Eger in source number 13, he comments. He says, "Hine midivrei tshuvas chavos yor mevuar." It says in the tshuvas chavos yor, "Dimu lav she'ein bo maisa have kimo la'avar alaseh." He takes it the other way, that if it's a negative mitzvah that is a sheva al ta'aseh, like maybe chametz on Pesach, not eating, but just not destroying chametz on Pesach of bal yeirah, bal yimatzeh, maybe I don't have to give up all my money for that. Maybe I don't have to give up all my money, and it's just like a mitzvah saseh. So how much do I have to give up? A lot. I don't know, a lot. So, in an off, if for some reason you're not able to destroy all your chametz in a factory, like let's say you own a big factory, and there's no way for me to destroy my chametz, I can't sell my chametz to a guy, I don't know, there's some issue about it, so okay, maybe I don't have to. Maybe I'm not obligated to do that. V'ein sarach liten kol memono. V'ayin b'mishpit zav, maybe the Taz says this as well. V'ulam, but B'tshuvas harivash, the rivash, one of the late Rishonim, mivur dekol shehula, or early Achronim, really, mivur dekol shehulav or alav af be'en bo ma'is tzarach liten kol asher lo v'lo yavar. The rivash argues, and he says, no, you have to give up everything. What matters is whether it's positive or negative, not active or passive. And he what? So again, he agrees, you're 100% right, that you don't get punished for doing a lav she'en bo maaseh. If you do a negative mit, meaning you don't get malchus for bal yeirah, bal yimatzeh. If you keep chametz on Pesach, I don't whip you for that. You don't get whipped for that because you didn't physically do anything. So that might be a function of, that's punishment. But who says punishment and how much you have to give up are the same? It's nice if it's the same, it makes sense, but the Rivash says not necessarily the case. Maybe they're different. And if you look in source number 14, the Rivash says this. Because of HaRavid, our Ravid that we had earlier, he says, Shehatam kidei shelo yavo lidei oni v'yapil asma lotzibur. Ukemo shekasav asei shabas chachol v'amru hamevazvez. So he quotes the Ravid that says you don't have to give up a lot because you might become poor. Kvar kasav haravzal. So the Rashba said, "Shelo amru ela b'mitzvah sasei, avo b'mitzvah lo sasei, afilu kol mamono." So he quotes the Rashba. Now the Rashba does not distinguish between, seems to distinguish between active versus passive. It's just positive versus negative. But now turn back to source number 4. Source number 4. Bottom of the first paragraph with the bolded part. Umikomakom lo kemisa mamish amar harav shlo amar elo b'mitzvah sasei b'shev ve'al taaseh avol b'mitzvah slo sasei afilu kol mamono. So the Rivash is correct that the Rashba doesn't distinguish between active and passive negative mitzvos. However, he does use the phrase of passive by a positive mitzvah. So the Rivash interprets that as saying, okay, that might be the reason for why positive mitzvos are different than negative mitzvos, but you don't have to stick that reasoning into negative mitzvos, and the Rashba doesn't. On the other hand, you could say, come on, that's what he means. That's what the Rashba means. And that's what other people say the Rashba means. Meaning that's how other people who disagree with the Rivash explain the Rashba. I'm just saying you can read it in both ways. That's how the Rivash takes it. And he continues after the number five in source number 14. He says, on the second line, the end of the second line, V'im yomar bal hadin shemitzvahs lo sasei she'ein bo maisa. And if you say that basically a passive negative mitzvah is equivalent to a positive mitzvah, kaven sha'over eino over alav biyadayim, if since you're not physically doing anything, alav araya, you gotta bring me a proof that we believe that there's that distinction. Shim hitiru b'mitzvas asei hakala u'b'sheva al taseh ein lemeidin. Mi'mitzvas lo saseh she'ein lemeidin chomer mikala hakel. He says we don't. You never hear these equations of comparing passive positive to a active positive to passive negative. We don't hear that. We just say positive and negative. That's it. Sof davar ein da'atenu note. I don't agree with that. Rivash says no distinction between active or passive, just positive or negative. So what we have here is there's a machlokas for centuries. Rishonim, achronim, about how to explain the difference between positive and negative mitzvahs. Is it that just positive mitzvahs are good and negative mitzvahs are bad, and it's worse to break something than to not build something? Meaning, it's just worse to do something bad than to not do something good? Or do we say no, that it's not really that, it's just the way it normally breaks down? Not doing something good means you're just being passive, and breaking something means you're being active. But if you find exceptions to the rule, then the rules don't apply. So that seems to be the machlokas. Before we get to the last two sources, I just want to go back. If you turn the page back to source number 6. So we've been reading all of these Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. They all said any positive mitzvah, even if you're going to miss it. So when they keep on saying, even though you're going to miss it, in general, when someone says afilu, it sounds like there's someone that disagrees. As a general rule, there's someone that disagrees. Even that implies that there's someone that doesn't agree with that. So the person that doesn't agree with that is the Baal Ha'itar. If you look in source number 6, so he says, lefichach yimkar ma sheyesh lo lekaye mitzvah ulehotzi otzos ad sheyimatze yayin otzi mukim kimo she'adam tzarech lachzar al mitzvahs lulav ve'esrog. So the Baal Ha'itar, if you see in the title of source number 6, he's talking about matzah and marar, and he's talking about yayin, wine or raisins, to make wine. So what's he talking about? He's talking about in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. So the Mishnah says that for a poor person, you got to give them food to have a seder, and you have to give them enough to buy matzah, marar, if we have a Karban Pesach, and enough for Arba Kosos. And then the Mishnah says also, or the Rambam says as well, that a person has to spend all of their money to procure that. If they don't have money, the tzibur is obligated to give them. But if they don't have money, so then they got to spend whatever it takes to get it. And that's what the Baal Ha'itar is saying. He's saying that you have to spend however much money it takes to get wine for Arba Kosos, just like you have to spend everything to get a lulav and esrog. So he's equating them. He's saying any mitzvah that you're going to lose out on, you got to spend whatever it takes. So we don't paskin like this, as you can see. We disagree. We do not paskin like the Baal Ha'itar. That doesn't matter whether you could do the mitzvah tomorrow or you're never going to do it again. If it's a positive mitzvah, you don't have to give up a ton of money.
Isn't Pesach a course?
That's Karban Pesach.
Yeah.
So Karban Pesach may be different. I don't know. We don't. You know, this is all post Korban bias.
It's like Milos.
Yeah, so with Kares, I don't know. I haven't looked into that yet. I'm sorry. That I don't know. What there is something which is interesting is...
But that could be why he's saying...
Well, no, but he's also talking about Arba Kosos. Arba Kosos is not...
I know, it's all part of the same package.
So you're using your Soloveitchik's lumdus that everything is connected through Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is true, but I don't think it... Like, I don't think you need to go that... I don't know. I don't think you need to go that far. What is something that people do grapple with is the Rambam says this by Hanukkah, that you have to sell the clothing off your back to purchase candles. You have to sell the clothing off your back to purchase arbakosos. So if we don't pass him like the Balei Iter, and the Rambam himself clearly says, ad chomesh lemitzvos, why are these things different? So what do those things have in common? What does Chanukah and Seder night theoretically have in common? Right, they are derabbanans.
And lo sasur involved.
So, all right, so maybe lo sasur, maybe lo sase, but also pirsume nisa. There's also an element of pirsume nisa. So pirsume nisa might be different, that you have to go above and beyond, even to give up all your money. That is one suggestion that people have.
And Megillah too?
So there, what's interesting is that the mitzvah is not to get a Megillah, it's to hear the Megillah. So I might not have to spend my... That's also another distinction. We can't get to everything. Another distinction that people give is that we're talking about objects to fulfill the mitzvah as opposed to getting to the mitzvah itself. So, for example, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin which seems to say that for Pidyon HaBen, you have to give up all your money. For Pidyon HaBen, you have to give up all your money. So the question is why? There's a lot of different answers. One answer that's given is that by Pidyon HaBen, the mitzvah is the money. The mitzvah is this thing, as opposed to others, is to get an object to do the mitzvah with. So that also might be another distinction. Again, it's not exactly identical, but it's by Megillah, it's even a step removed from that. So maybe Megillah might be different in that respect as well. Regardless, though, we don't paskin like this Balei Iter. I just want you to see that it exists, and that's why everybody's making this distinction between a mitzvah that you'll lose out on and a mitzvah that you won't. So now let's finish up by bringing this back to tzedakah. All right. So over the last few weeks, I've been mentioning two questions over and over again, which now that we have this, I want to give some answers to. First question, question number one is that Takanas Usha was enacted at some point in history. Different Shita says to exactly when it was, but Yiddishkeit existed before that point. So before that point, how much would you have to give for tzedakah? That was question number one. And question number two is that what about the negative mitzvah? There's a mitzvah lo saseh, to not close your hand to give tzedakah. So maybe you could say, okay, there's a limit for positive mitzvahs, but there's also a negative mitzvah here. There's also a negative mitzvah of me closing my hand of not giving tzedakah. So with everything that we learned today, we can now go back to that and answer these questions. If you look in source number 5, so the Chassam Sofer, he gives a wild answer. He says, 15. So in 15, the Chassam Sofer says, "Devadai mashma midin Torah." It sounds like that min haTorah kol sheyesh lo parnasos yom, as long as you have enough money to keep yourself alive, sarach litein hamoser laani rak chayav kodman. You have to give up all your money if an ani comes to you, and people say, assuming that no one else can help him out either. If someone comes to you and says, "Look, you're my last hope. I need you to give me money." You got to give him everything so long as you can live. You have to give. Rak beushas kino shel yivazvez adam yoser mechomesh. Chazal instituted at Usha that there's a limit. V'samchu akra aser asrenulach. Ubemakom kivud av lo hinichu vehinichu aldin. This is a separate point. I don't want to get into that. Vehinichu aldin Torah shem enotzarech lahachzir al apsachim kol sheyesh lo dechayev yitein anishar laavosav. They bring a parallel to kibud avaim that you have to give to your father first, and that's tzedakah basically. But what the Chassam Sofer is basically saying is that you would have to give up everything. You would theoretically have to give up anything, and Chazal basically said no. Why not? Because it's a shev va'altase. It's a passive mitzvah. However, based on what we learned, maybe that's not necessarily the case. Maybe, according to Tosfos, according to the Rashba, according to the Rush, maybe you don't have to give up all your money. If it's a mitzvah saseh, if tzedakah, if we just focus on the mitzvah saseh, I don't need the chsam sofer. Why? I just don't have to give a lot. I don't have to give all my money. How much do I have to give? Less than a lot. That's what the mitzvah was. Not hon rav. I have to give less than a lot of money. And the chachamim said it's a fifth. The chsam sofer, though, says that might not be enough to answer the question. Why? Because we have a mitzvah lo saseh involved as well. Don't close your hand. So that's why the chsam sofer needs to say, Chazal just said no. Chazal said you don't have to give. So why should that be? How could they do that? So maybe tzedakah is also a passive negative mitzvah also. Is closing your hand passive or negative? You know, the language of the Torah is don't close, and that sounds active, but like, I don't actually have to physically close my hand. I just don't have to open my hand.
And you're ignoring.
Right. So if you're ignoring, ignoring is passive. It could be passive. You know, you only have to close your hand if it's open. So maybe that's where maybe that's why Chazal were able to do what they did, because it is even a passive negative mitzvah. And if you look in the Netziv seems to suggest this. The Netziv says, in source number 16 in Merome Sade, he says, Vahatam, Shein Sarach, Litain Bishvil Mitzvah, Nira Mishum Deklalhu, Dekavod Habrios, Doche, Bishay Va'al Ta'aseh, Mashain Kein Losa Se Biyadayim. So he says, the Kavod Habrios is Doche. So we generally, you know, work under the assumption that Kavod Habrios goes against like a mitzvah, you know, Chazal said we can be lenient for Kavod Habrios to get rid of like a Dirabbanan. So like the classic example I think that people talk about is, let's say there's no tissues in the bathroom, there's only toilet paper, and you need to use the toilet paper. So what do? So the Eitzah that people say is that you're allowed to tear the toilet paper, just not on the lines. Why? That's an issur derabanan of Korea. You're tearing, but it's a derabanan because you're not tearing, you know, perforated sheets in a constructive way. I'm just destroying it. And so that's only an issur derabanan. And because of kavod habrios, for exceptional circumstances, we could waive it. Over here, though, this seems to be talking about a d'oraisa. And then it says, even for a d'oraisa, if it's passive, it's okay. The Netziv says, technically speaking, you should have to give up everything, but for a passive mitzvah, you don't have to give up. You don't have to give up everything. You just shouldn't give. You have to give a lot or less than a lot, however much that is. So that's what the Netziv, and again, the Netziv and the Chsam Sofer both seem to be working under the assumption that there's a distinction between active versus passive and not just purely positive versus negative. That's where the Chsam Sofer and the Netziv seem to be going. I want to just end off with two other potential ways to answer these two questions. The first is that even if you hold, like the Rivash, who holds that, no, we go purely versus positive and negative, tzedakah still might be different. Why? Because of what I said, that you don't have to close your hand if it's not open. So when figuratively is it not open? When you have nothing to give, right? If you're not in a position to give anything, then you're not really closing your hand. So you could say that in scenarios where you're not obligated to give, or you don't have the means to give, then there's no negative mitzvah because I'm not closing my hand. So when Chazal said, okay, there are limits to what you're obligated to give, so once I exceed that limit, I'm not closing my hand. My hand was never open to begin with at that point. That is another answer. Rav Asher Weiss gives a final explanation, which is, again, his classic way of basically just saying, you know, things happen organically, and that's how the Torah operates. He says that before Chazal came around, meaning when we got the Torah basically said, you're mature adults. You have to do mitzvos. You have to not do averos. You have to give up your lives for certain things. Beyond that, you're supposed to do mitzvos. And you shouldn't do averos. So when it comes to averos, you can't give up anything. You have to give up your money. You have to give up all your money. When it comes to doing something good, when it comes to being a balabas of your money, being in charge of your money and electing to, you have free will, so you could choose to spend money, you could choose not to. So he says, you're a mature adult. Figure out how you believe it's best to spend your money. Ideally, you should be doing as many mitzvahs as you can. But as a mature adult, figure out what the best way is to maximize your expenditure on mitzvahs. Do you think it makes sense to spend $500 on an esrog if that means I can't give tzedakah, I gotta be poor? Maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. That's up to you to figure out how to do that and be smart about it. Because maybe it's worth not spending $500 on an esrog, so you could do three more mitzvos in Cheshvan or in Kislev.
Isn't that what the Ravid
says? So the Ravid says that when it comes to just being poor. Rav Asher Weiss says it's not just about being poor, it's about like sort of like spiritual bookkeeping, basically. Like you're in charge of how you spend your money on positive mitzvos. Be smart about it. And Chazal said, okay, because of various historical circumstances that we discussed, we don't trust people at this point. So we're going to make hard and fast rules in certain cases about spending up to a fifth. Before that point, you were on your own. You figured it out. And we hoped you were smart enough to do that. And so therefore, you're not. If you believe that according to your cheshbon, you've reached your limit of what you're able to give, so you're not closing your hand in that case. I'm not being over a negative mitzvah if I have nothing to give, if I have nothing to open my hand for. Even if I have money right now, if I know that I'm going to need that money in a week from now to purchase Hanukkah menorah, so maybe I shouldn't have to give this guy if that's all I have.
Well, he's saying something that, how do I put this? What Rav Asher Weiss seems to be saying is that the Takana of Usha no longer exists.
Oh, no. I mean, he's saying before Usha, that was the reality. And then because of historical circumstances, Chazal said, we don't trust people enough. We got to put rules in place.
That's Takana. All right, now we're way beyond Takana.
Well, it's still binding now. I mean, I think it's...
You think that's binding?
So the Gemara says that... a Takana... when Beis Din makes a takana, you're not allowed to undo it unless you're greater than them. Bechachma ubeminyan, you have to be greater in number and in wisdom, or they give an explicit reason. So here, they did give an explicit reason, but I believe that explicit reason still applies. Because people still completely mismanage their money, and you know this because I've heard questions from rabbis basically saying, school principals saying that people are filling out financial need forms even though for their kids' yeshiva tuition, even though they spent a ton of money on $500 esrog. So yes, $500. The difference between a $500 and a $100 esrog is not going to pay your kids' yeshiva tuition. But let's be smart about this. Let's be honest here. And if you're buying not just an esrog for you, you're buying it for your five kids that are in yeshiva also, that are also over bar mitzvah. So let's be smart about how we allocate our mitzvahs, how we allocate our money for mitzvahs. So I think it's safe to say that the gzeira still applies nowadays too. That's it for this week. Next week we'll finish up the topic of maximum expenditures. We'll be talking about pikuach nefesh, how much you have to spend either to save your life or to save somebody else's life. So that has implications both for what's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now, but beyond that, let's say my parents get this every Sunday. People come collecting in Bergenfield with signs, with teudos, basically saying, my wife, my husband has an operation coming up, cancer, they need to do an operation. If not, he's going to die. Now, again, they're going to other people too, but is the tzibor obligated to spend much more than a fifth to save this person's life to finance the operation?
Hello.
All right. Take care.